Caregivers, have you ever felt like nothing is going right? Well, cheer up and welcome to Dave, the Caregivers Caregiver Radio Program, where you'll learn how to avoid that dreaded thing called caregiver burnout and how to survive the grieving process. Join Dave and his guests now as they share practice tips and tools that you can start using immediately to help get you through this day. Now, here's your caregiver host, Dave Nassani.
From Los Angeles and New York, a big LA and Big Apple welcome to all my listeners out there in Radio Land. I'm Dave, the Caregiver's Caregiver, and Adrian Gruberg coming to you live on and on demand 24/7 on 14 global and audio and video platforms, iTunes, YouTube, Spreaker, SoundCloud, Vimeo, Stitcher, Blog Talk, Mixcloud, Listen Notes, Blueberry, Player FM, Podcast.com, VIP Internet Radio, and Facebook Live on my page, CaregiverDave.com. Actually, my page on Facebook is called Dave the Caregiver's Caregiver. And we were voted number two podcast of the top six podcasts in 2017, and we're proud of that. And we have an exciting interview. Yes, Adrian's proud of that too, I think. We have an exciting interview planned for you today. Say hello, Adrian. Let's get that out of the way.
Hello. From New York.
From New York. She's the New Yorker, and I'm the LA-er. Is that a word?
Why not?
I'm spit, she's polished, just in case you're wondering who's who. We have a very exciting show planned for you today. As you can tell, we're just really laid back and informal here, and we don't know what we're doing, but it looks good. And today we are interviewing Dr. Mini Malhotra, family practitioner and functional medicine specialist, or I could say guru. So before we get started, I want to just thank my last week's guest, Tomisa Leiden. Dr. Minnie knows her. She's not a downsizing expert, is she? Yes, she is a downsizing expert in real estate, because I had a downsizing expert as a guest before. That's what I did with my garage here. As you can see, my garage is so organized. It still has a lot of stuff. I'm eclectic, but everything has its place now, even though there isn't much empty space on the wall. So there's probably way too much stuff, but you know what? I'm old, and
it's interesting.
It is. I'm going to take the rare thing and show you the rest of it. Don't look at the pool table because there's too many things on top of it.
Is that a unicycle?
That is.
Was that a unicycle?
No, those are my weights, and then I have a road bike, an avid biker. I used to go to Mexico twice a year.
Wow.
And ride in the Ensenada to Rosarita Beach ride. 5,000 to 10,000 people would go there. They'd close the roads down. Federales would protect us from the cartel. And 51 miles through the barrios in the mountains. It was so
fun. Oh, that's wonderful.
And we'd get to Ensenada, and we'd have our margaritas. And then we would take a van back with all the bikes in the back. So we only had to do it once, not twice. So that was the best part of it. But ever since I broke my ankle, right here in Castaic, my hometown, and a car hit me when I was... My wife won't let me go to Mexico anymore.
So,
but I was healing. Now that I'm all healed, she might reconsider, but I have to start working on that because I'm not sure. Anyway, I'm wasting time talking about me. We have a great guest. As a reminder, you can hear Tomisa and all of our interviews on our website, caregiverdave.com, or any of the other networks that I mentioned, iTunes, YouTube, SoundCloud, etc. Enough of that. My guest, Mini Malhotra, Dr. Mini Malhotra. Mini, welcome to the show. I'm so excited to have you on.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for having me. I'm really excited.
We are more excited. Why don't you take a minute or two and introduce yourself? I like to ask my guests, just who is Mini Malhotra and why was she put on this earth?
So I am a primary care. I was a primary care physician for 20 years. And I've been married to the same man for more than 30 years.
Wow.
I have two lovely kids. My son is in law school and my daughter just graduated from college.
Oh.
And I have two pets, Bella and and a boxer who's more than 100 pounds, Albus.
Bella.
But they're both belong to my kids, supposedly.
Well, whoever feeds them.
You're
is
still
the
taking care of them, yeah.
Yeah, but my son moved to Chicago, so the dog went with him.
Mm-hmm.
We see him time to time. But yes, I was a traditional, conventional family medicine practitioner for more than 20 years, handing out drugs and medications and prescribing surgeries and all those things. But in my heart, I really didn't feel that was the right solution for my patients.
Mm-hmm.
So when I was practicing that, I practiced a lot of lifestyle medicine. And I was introduced to functional medicine at a conference and I really got hooked on it. I did a fellowship and I then started my own practice part-time. So I would work 60 hours in the traditional practice and I would work 30 hours in my part-time functional medicine practice. And then last year I said enough is enough and I started this full-time. And I've never been happier because people who come to me really want to change their health. And so I don't have to listen to people saying that, oh, my insurance will not cover this, or, I don't talk about my weight today because I got billed $60 for that last time. So I'm practicing real medicine. I call this real medicine.
Yes, not fake medicine, real medicine.
Real medicine.
So you'll be happy to know your friend Tomisa, who our last week's guest is watching right now, and she says hello.
Hi,
and
Tomisa.
We've got another guest, Beth Wilson. She says hello, wife of a leader there. And then Helen Frazier, who we had as a caller a couple of weeks ago. So our listenership is increasing, Adrian, by going
great.
Facebook Live. So if anybody wants to call, I'll let you know when you can call in and ask the doctor some questions that you have. First, I want to get something out of the way, Doctor. We were talking before the show, and I never knew what the difference was alternative medicine and functional medicine. Because when I met Suzanne Summers, she called herself functional. That's the first time I've heard that word. And explain what the difference is.
So functional medicine is root cause medicine. So why I call it real medicine is because, you're not born with certain diseases like high blood pressure, cholesterol, diabetes, or even cancer, you're not born with it unless you have a genetic issue. So you develop it sometime along the way as you're growing older. So something has happened in your body that caused that dysfunction to happen and caused that change. So we as functional medicine practitioner find out the root cause or the cause of that change and we reverse that cause so that you don't have to take the prescription drug or you can reverse your diabetes, you can reverse all these diseases by just doing certain lifestyle changes or certain targeted supplement and nutrition-based approach.
And amazing.
Yeah, and alternative medicine is a lot of things. So functional medicine can be in alternative medicine, but it also includes acupressure, chiropractic care, naturopathic medicine. So a lot of things come in the alternative medicine, bracket.
Yeah, I've never met a chiropractor or an acupuncturist who never claimed that they can heal anything that's wrong with you, just from from hemorrhoids to blindness to hair loss, you name it, they can do it. And so I like them. I have my own chiropractor. He's a great guy, and my partner is an acupuncturist. But don't they exaggerate a little sometimes? Come on, really? You can stick a few needles in my head and I'm going to start growing hair? Really?
Yeah, you have to be realistic with what you're offering, because yes, it can make some difference, a lot of difference in certain areas, but it cannot make a lot of difference in every area, because you have to still work with the food and the lifestyle and everything to, together with all that. So I would, if I used acupressure or chiropractic care, it would be in addition to what I do.
Mm-hmm.
And I wouldn't claim that, okay, I'm the only person that I can heal someone.
Right.
Yes, if I need more help, which I do here, I do other practices like meditation and heart math interventions. So a lot of non-invasive procedures also are useful for that. But I cannot tell that, okay, my approach I will find out everything, but if I need care, I will refer maybe to an acupressurist or a chiropractor or something.
Beth Wilson was telling me that her husband has a left ventricle assist device. Mm-hmm. What do you do about that?
So she has an assist device because he has heart failure. So that means his heart muscles are not functioning as it, you know, they are failing or the heart muscles are damaged. Now to revive something, you have to give it the right kind of food or the right kind of approach, or it is the death of the mitochondria, which is the energy, you know, it is the energy organ in every cell. And so once the cell dies or the mitochondria cannot function, you get this cell death. And you can revive this. So there are targeted approaches to even change a 15% functioning heart to at least 30 to 35%. So you can increase the functioning by giving the right kind of nutrition approach, supplement approach. So there are a lot of things which you can do even in heart failure to revive that heart.
So if you were that patient, you would be recommending a lot of diet changes and some other changes in addition to this this device.
This device. So what I would actually find out, we do a whole approach. So we find out the genetics of the patient, we find out their gut health, we find out where their hormones are, and then we actually customize a plan that will work for them. We also see the deficiencies that they have, and they usually have a lot of deficiencies because of the medications they are taking. So a lot of people don't know that, you know, common medications like metformin you take for diabetes causes B12 deficiency. But no conventional practitioner actually gives B12 while they're prescribing, you know, that medicine. So that is something that, you know, we have to take the patient into consideration, not the numbers. So we don't look at just the numbers that, okay, we have to lower cholesterol number, we have to see that the patient is improving on the whole.
Well, do you think profit gets in the way of making right decisions when administering prescriptions? Because let's face it, the pharmaceuticals, they give free samples to the doctors, and I think they get a kickback. You're a doctor. Do you get kickbacks when you recommend certain drugs? So now the doctor is motivated in supplementing his income by prescribing this particular medication, even though it may not be right for their patient or may have side effects that causes another problem, that guess what? You need another medication for that one.
And,
yeah.
So, yes.
Mean, am I just being paranoid here or is it true?
No. So I'll tell you, the only kickback we got was free lunches and dinners. That was the only
well, I hope they were very nice restaurants, at least, and not
so
at McDonald's.
We were invited to this seminar where they taught us about the drug and they told us how great it was. And
then,
you know, you finally start seeing it and then it becomes into the guidelines. So we actually don't use the medication until they are put into the guidelines. And what influences guidelines? You have to look at where the insurance company is getting the money from. Who are the lobbyists, you know? Who is actually, you know, promoting their products? Big pharmaceutical companies, they're promoting their products. They are the one paying for a lot of these things like, you know, drug monopolization. And so the insurance company gains a lot by putting certain drugs into the guidelines. And then the doctors or the physicians have to follow the guidelines. And if you don't follow the guidelines, you get a letter from the insurance saying that, oh, your patient is supposed to be on this medication, but you haven't put them on this medication. So please make sure that you put them on that medication.
The and if insurance you don't do that, company tells you that?
Yeah, they send us letters. They used to. But I haven't seen a single drug rep since I left that practice. They don't give me any more free lunches because I don't prescribe their drugs.
Well, there's, you know the expression, there's no such thing as a free lunch.
Lunch, yeah. For sure.
Beth says it's true. They're only concentrating on making sure the device keeps working, not really interested in other health aspects.
In his health.
So at the end of the show, we'll give your phone number out or your email or however you want to communicate, and she can She can ask you some questions, right? And you can lead her in the right direction. Good.
Yeah, sure.
Minnie, can I ask you, in terms of preventative treatments, you know, I'm a healthy person. I want to come to you to do things properly so as not to get certain things. Do people do that? Do they come to you for a workup? And
Yes, they do come. There are a lot of people who have bad family histories. They have seen their moms or their dads go through a bad, but they don't have it as yet.
Right.
And they want to prevent that.
Right.
Or they have a family history of cancer. So what we do is with them is we do the same things. We actually find out their genetics, whether how prone they are to those things. Mm. We see about 3,000 biomarkers. Which can influence occurrence of diseases in the future. So it takes 15 to 20 years to develop a disease. So if you're diagnosed with diabetes or high blood pressure today, it started 15 years before. So just by taking a few pills, it's not going to go away. So you have, and in functional medicine, we can look at those markers and see where you're progressing and reverse it at that time with lifestyle, nutrition, supplements, and many other changes that we can do. So, yes, I have at least 25% of my patients come for that reason.
That's good.
Getting back to Beth, she says that they told her that the heart is damaged beyond repair and only a transplant would fix his issue. So is that kind of an accurate diagnosis,
so
you think?
I would also, I would encourage her to see Dr. Mark Houston. Dr. Mark Houston is a very famous cardiologist at University of Nashville, and he has reversed so many of these heart failures just on the protocols that we use. So I have been a student of his.
Hearts that were considered damaged beyond repair?
Yeah, wow. 10% functioning, 15% functioning.
Wow.
Yeah, and he has got it up. But it takes a year or to 18 months, and you have to follow that protocol.
Sure.
But there is hope now. If she goes and just looks him up, she will see what I'm talking about.
Yeah. It's amazing how the human body can heal itself, even when doctors have given up. I mean, there are so many entries in the medical journals of what they call a miracle because they don't know what else to call it. You know?
Right.
Yeah.
And the x-rays, showed cancer here, and then the next x-ray, it's like, it's gone. Where did it go? You know?
Now, if you go back and look at so many things you did, you know, when you were younger and your body could tolerate, like the pizzas and the burgers and the cokes and the diet drinks that I had, but I was progressing in the wrong direction. I had a bad family history, and as soon as I left, I haven't had a diet coke in probably 6 years now.
Yeah, my wife won't give him up. By the way, Beth said he has 5 to 10% functionality, so there's still hope.
So I would say that there is still hope. You should not lose hope, and you should, if nothing, his health will still improve a lot.
Sure,
because
it's not going to get worse.
You know, it's not going to get worse even by trying those strategies.
And I can, Doctor and I were talking before the show about my problem that I've asked so many different doctors over the years, for the last 10 years or so, and I always get the same answer. And Adrian, you know, I've got this thing where I'm always trying to cough up a hairball or something, and it seems to happen a lot to older men, because my father-in-law was like that, and then all of a sudden,
men.
And women too, yes.
It happens.
And so, you know, they tell me the same. Oh, well, you know, take an antihistamine. Oh, elevate your bed. Oh, you know, drink hot tea with a lemon and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, it might improve it a tiny little bit. But Dr. Malhotra said that her husband had the same thing. The kids didn't want to go to the movies with him because he's always making these sounds, these grunting sounds. And and so she had a solution, and he's healed. And she gave me the advice. So I want to, because there's other people on. Adrian, do you have this problem too?
Of course. Yeah.
Well, there you go. So tell us what we should do. We're writing it down, doctor.
Yeah. So as we age, you know, our enzymes, our acid in the stomach, everything starts to reduce. So, you don't have that same functionality, and the mucus that collects in your gut, it moves up, and that's why you get this constant feeling of, you know, clearing your throat.
Is that kind of acid reflux too, or not really?
So acid reflux is a term that is used in conventional practice. It's actually low acid and not high acid. But it is. But when you give a medication, it's so ironic. They give it to lower the acidity, but they should actually support the acidity. So what happens is when you give an acid reflux medication to a person, it increases your risk of heart disease, and it doesn't absorb so many nutrients because you need the acid to absorb.
Yeah, we need acid.
Yes. So that's,
or it wouldn't be there, right?
No. So there are enzymes which you can take to replace those enzymes, like gastric enzymes, pancreatic enzymes. So those enzymes will help you. Also healing the gut, which I was talking to Dave, that many people develop a lot of food allergies as they, you know, grow older. It's because their gut is leaky, and it sounds very weird, a leaky gut, but leaky gut really exists because what happens is your body gets, you know, your gut lining gets damaged, and then it starts absorbing a lot of things it should not absorb. And the proteins in the foods act as antigens, and then they create an antibody reaction, and then your gut gets more inflamed, and you get a lot of autoimmune conditions, a lot of chronic health issues because of that leaky gut. So healing your gut, I always start from the gut. So I do start an elimination diet with my patients, and then I do a detox for them. But my whole focus is on maintaining gut integrity, and also, you know, having the right enzymes, the right right bacteria in the gut. So having good probiotic, having good prebiotic. There's another product called as glutamine, which is very good for healing of the gut, and some immunoglobulin, or, you know, colostrum. You know, colostrum is one of the latest thing. You remember when you were born and you had your mother's milk and you got the colostrum, and they said it increased your immunity. Well, 80% of your immunity is in your gut. And when your gut is damaged, your immune system is gone. That's how you start getting sinus infections. You start getting all these kind of things, chronic diseases, because your immune system gets affected. So when you heal the gut, I use a 4-hour program. The 4-hour program is, you know, first you replace. So replacing is, you know, replace all the enzymes I talked about.
Gastric enzymes, and what was the other enzyme that you
pancreatic,
said?
The pancreatic. Yeah. So you're replacing, you're repairing. You're repairing the gut with immunoglobulin and the glutamine and bone broth. Bone broth is one of the best sources to heal your gut. And you can make it at home, or you can get it, you know, as a powder, very good organic sources. You can get it even in your stores, very good one. So you first replace, you repair, you repopulate and regenerate. So you repopulate your good bacteria and regenerate the gut lining. And then you've healed your gut.
My husband, his illness was discovered when he was rushed to the hospital with a perforated diverticulum.
Okay.
So he literally had an exploded gut.
Okay.
And he needed a temporary colostomy, but getting him to change and do things properly was next to impossible. He would not change the way he ate. Everything was still wrong. How do you deal with people who are resistant to make that kind of life change?
So what you tell them is that, okay, I'm not asking much of you. I just want you to do one thing, maybe just one change you can make. Don't just give it up for 1 week and see how you feel. So maybe give up gluten for a week, or maybe give up dairy for a week, or just add this bone broth for a week and see how you feel. So that's how you deal, because you have to also work with their psychology.
Yes.
Because they're very skeptical. They're very skeptical of doing anything new.
Exactly.
And they're very scared of failing too, that they start something and they don't succeed and they feel that, you know, it's like a failure. So you have to play with the psychology. You have to change the mindset, which we do a lot here in, with our patients, because most of my patients or my clients who come here, they have been diabetics for 20, 30 years. And they, you know, they just feel that this is the way of life. Taking drugs, medications, and or doing surgeries is healing. I've had so many patients who've had gastric bypass, and they've put on even more weight than what they were before. So now, it's yeah, go ahead.
I have a question. I don't know where you're located. Mm-hmm. Are you in California?
Texas, I
no,
think.
I'm in the Woodlands. I'm in the Woodlands, Texas.
Oh, my brother-in-law's in the Woodlands.
Oh, it's a small world.
That's funny, yes. Is there a general organization that people can contact to find someone in their area?
Yeah, you can go to IFM, Institute of Functional Medicine, .org, and you can look for an IFM certified physician.
Okay,
the initials
great.
IFM, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Capital I, capital F, capital M, .org.
That's great. Thank you.
Yeah.
And you're in there, obviously.
Yeah, I'm. I have already done a fellowship from another board. That's another very good source of finding out. It's called American Board of Anti-Aging and Regenerative Medicine, mm-hmm. or A for M, A and the number 4 and M. So we have a lot. Suzanne Summers is. Yeah, Suzanne Summers is actually connected to that A for M, and I've done a fellowship with them. But now I'm also getting certified with IFM. So mm-hmm. Even though I have done everything, I have to do it again because they are two different, you know, organizations.
Were you at Harvard last year with Suzanne Summers or no?
No, I was here this year. I just came this year.
So
but
you're coming.
I'll be there next year.
Oh, great. Great. Yeah, you and her will
I'm
have
excited.
A great time.
Yeah.
You'll have an opportunity to speak to her for several minutes. Yes, what was the fourth good. R in the four R's?
Regenerate.
Regenerate. Wow. So my problem's been solved, and just send me some more details on that, because I can only write so much and so fast. So what do you understand about stress related to a caregiver? Stress is the enemy, yes? Is that the
yes.
main root of all sickness is stress, or is that going a little too far?
No. So I'll tell you what. People look at stress only from an emotional point of view. You can have three type of stressors. One can be physical stressor. One can be a chemical stressor, and one can be emotional stressor. The physical stressor could be anything like standing long hours, sitting in front of the computer, traveling, or mm-hmm. any injuries or accidents. These are all physical stressors which can affect you the same way. There are chemical stressors like the food you eat, the beverages that you drink, the air that you breathe. They all are chemical stressors. You know, sometimes you see those packets of baby pink, the baby blue, and the yellow lying on the table, you know, they are big chemical stressors actually to our body.
Mm-hmm.
And the emotional stressors. People think every stress is emotional because, you know, we get stressed from things that are out of our control. What we have control over is ourselves and our health, but it overwhelms us. So when you have these kind of stressors, we go into that flight and fight mode.
Mm-hmm.
So your cortisol starts to increase. When your cortisol starts to increase by these stressors, when you have a caregiver who's giving care to someone who may have been their husband or may have been their parent, you know, their role changes suddenly from being a spouse or a
exactly.
partner in life to becoming someone who's actually becoming an authority over them or is responsible for them now.
So, yes.
So that stress is a lot because that role change can give a lot of stress to that person. And taking all the decisions and responsibilities, it can increase the cortisol. The cortisol can increase insulin, your adrenaline. So your body is forever in a sympathetic mode. Sympathetic mode is where your blood pressure is always high and your heart rate is high. You're not in a relaxed mode.
Right.
So the caregiver is constantly, you know, on, I think, pins and needles because of the situations that they face.
Yeah.
Listen, we're going to take a break.
Okay.
We usually take two breaks, but I'm having so much fun and learning so much that we're going to take two breaks at one time, so that'll kill that. So this will be our only break. It's just a little longer than usual. So we'll be right back. Do not go away.
Okay.
Welcome, caregivers. Thank you so much for finding your way to our community of loving and supportive caregivers. We as caregivers understand and know the day-to-day feelings of guilt, fear, and loneliness. But guess what? There is hope. I, Dave, the Caregiver's Caregiver, along with my team of experts and caring caregivers, have made this site just for you. We are a community of caregivers that understands and supports you wherever you are in your journey. We are a place to connect with other caregivers, but more importantly, a place to get practical, actionable help. There are lots of ways for you to get support. First of all, you can download our welcome pack. This will get you started on your Thrive journey. Next, you can ask and get answers to your questions by posting them here in our private Facebook groups. You can also get live online support by attending one of our live weekly Connect webinars. You can get practical, actionable advice by listening to our weekly podcast. You can hear and read other stories about other caregivers' experiences. Plus, add your own in our weekly Share Your Story forum, posted every Tuesday in the Facebook group. You can access essential resources and download practical Thrive Solutions packs, all of which are geared to help you thrive as a caregiver. We know funds are tight, so we offer all of our individual Thrive Solutions packs. Or for even a better deal, you can get lifetime access to all of our resources. Again, we're here to support you and help you thrive and to enjoy your life as a caregiver. And remember, this is a place to get hope, not just cope.
One Arm, One Leg, 100 Words, Overcoming Unbelievable Hardships is about Charlene, a stroke survivor. Back in 1996, Charlene was a healthy, normal, very active 52-year-old woman whose amazing talents resemble that of both a Martha Stewart and a Wonder Woman. But all that changed when she suffered a massive stroke that left her severely speech impaired and paralyzed on the right side. Everyone who knows Charlene is thoroughly amazed at how she lives day by day, month by month, year by year, and with a smile on her face and hope in her heart that everything is going to be okay. Just hear what best-selling author Lynn Barrington has to say about it. If you think you have it bad, read this book. This is a beautiful, genuine story told from the heart. It's inspiring and easy to read. When you finish this book, you'll be able to look at your concerns in a new light. One Arm, One Leg, 100 Words, Overcoming Unbelievable Hardships. Available everywhere.
And we're back with Dr. Minnie Malhotra and my wonderful co-host, Adrian Gruberg. And so welcome back, everybody. And if you just tuned in, Dr. Malhotra is a functional medicine specialist, and we're talking about all sorts of stuff. How stress is the major cause of all disease, and how if you have to clear your throat all the time, it probably has something to do with your gut, leaky gut. So I'm excited about that, because this is the first time I've ever heard this from this doctor right here, and I've spoken to a lot of doctors. So let's talk about your current practice. How did you change your approach, you know, to go from family? Because you were like one of those normal doctors, a family practitioner. What happened to make you think that, you know, I'm not serving my patients well, I got to change course? Tell us about that experience.
So what happened was, you know, when I started, when I was practicing family medicine, I would give a lot of counseling on smoking cessation, counseling on dietary, and counseling on, you know, changing lifestyle. And I would encourage them to do things, but, you know, it was, everything was insurance based. So people didn't really care or didn't listen. Even when they went to a dietitian, the dietitian would teach them about the food pyramid, which I don't believe in. Mm-hmm. You know, it should be upside down what they, so what happened was, instead of my patients getting better, I saw that, you know, either they were same or, you know, they were getting on more prescription drugs. And only people who improved were who did some things on their own and who took the, you know, a different approach. They were the ones who were getting better. And then my patients started telling me, okay, hey doc, can we not talk about my weight or, you know, my cholesterol? Because I got billed like $60 and that was it. Like I said, I can't practice in this system, which doesn't let you practice real medicine. You know, I'm tired of giving because no patient walks into my office written on their forehead that I want prescription medications. We are the ones who are telling them, you have high blood pressure, here is a pill. You have diabetes, here is a pill. But instead of telling them that I'm going to give you 6 months, you got to get into this structured routine and you have to be monitored. There was no way I could hold them accountable to what I was advising them.
Well, so, did you notice that the pharmaceuticals are not marketing to you doctors anymore? They're going straight to the patient on television.
TV.
Tell your doctor you want to try blah, blah, blah.
Crazy.
Or, by the way, it could cause mental illness, it could cause death, it could cause this, it could cause that.
Right.
It's a joke the way they go through that long list of
disclaimers.
At four times the normal speed of speech. They sound like an auctioneer.
Yes, an auctioneer.
So I just had to throw that in.
No, it's true.
So I'll tell you, recently I was watching an advertisement on a drug that cures an overactive bladder. And the side effect was diarrhea. So we are treating the leaks with the runs. You know? So is that how we want to resolve our health issues?
The lesser of the two evils. Many elections are like that.
I have a question about what caregivers could do to lessen their stress that's not difficult. I mean, what's the best, the easiest, because that's going to be key as far as the caregiver goes, the easiest thing for them to lessen stress.
Okay.
Yeah, remember Beth I was talking about? Her thyroid has gotten worse since she became a caregiver.
Yeah. So I believe in some non-interventional, like non-invasive things too. So I believe in one, communication. You have to have good communication. Communication is not Facebook and Twitter and texting. Communication is actually talking to people who are in similar situation like you are and actually getting to see how they are living life and, you know, adopting many of the things that people do to overcome caregiver stress, because they are the people who can actually give very good advice to another caregiver. That is one thing, communication. You should join a group forum. Dave has a wonderful program for caregivers which people can take advantage of. So that would be number one. Two is community. You know, when you are engaged in a community like we have our temple we go to, we meet our Indian, you know, people from our country. So we follow a culture that helps a lot. So, you know, places like churches and other organizations which promote, this kind of community feeling will really help to relieve a lot of stress.
Yes.
Three is cooking. Cooking is one way of relieving a lot of stress.
Yes.
And another way of, a non-invasive, which is not a C, which is meditation and other forms of, mental health or mindset changes, which you can do. So you can do, there is one system which I use called as the biofeedback. Where you train your heart to breathe through your heart, and your heart is connected to your brain. So when you breathe through your heart and you bring in positive feelings, your negative feelings start to go down. So those things are very important to incorporate on a day-to-day basis if you are a caregiver.
Yes.
Because that will not only relieve a lot of unwanted stress, but it will also help you manage the stress when it comes along.
Yes, I believe that communication is key. I mean, that's part of what my site's about too. That there needs to be a caregiver community that you feel a part of, and you get to know the people that are online with you. Because sometimes you can't go out to church or go to temple or
yeah.
But you can use the computer to create communities.
Yeah. So we have this technology is so advanced. Sitting at home, you can talk to anyone in Africa or Africa or India or anywhere. And so if you have that community, it really helps in many ways.
And the caregiver problems are similar all over the world.
Yeah.
It is. Yeah. It is. So when I was a practitioner, I could not understand a lot of, when I was a conventional medicine practitioner, I could not understand this caregiver stress because I had not experienced it a whole lot in my life except with my dad, when my dad was sick. But I was not there physically all the time. I was married. Mm. I was living in another town. I wasn't there day to day. My brother was there and my mom was there. So I saw my brother's, life deteriorate, and that's when I understood.
Yep.
He went through a divorce. He lost so many businesses only because my dad was so sick. He was on bed and he had to take care of him.
Mm-hmm.
So I can see that a caregiver can actually, their life can go upside down taking care of someone else. So if you have that, if you have someone who can really understand, and that's what I do now, I really take a good history of my patient, which I take into account these factors. Because if they are coming to me to get better, but I don't understand what is happening at home, I cannot get them better.
You listen.
I listen more. So my appointments are an hour long, not like the 15 minutes I used to spend before.
Yeah, so you know what it's like to be a caregiver. And Helen just mentioned that she's, since her mother died, herself, she's bored. I told her to join Adrian's aftercare group because there are things that people who are no longer a caregiver can do. They can volunteer at the senior center. I mean, you don't have to stop being a caregiver, but you can do it on your terms now where it's not hard and stressful.
And another thing is that, because you've been through it, you can help so many other people who are in that situation.
That's why, everything happens for a reason. And so we are here on this earth to support each other, to help each other. And, it breaks my heart to see all these people on our southern border trying to have a better life. But, both sides have valid arguments. We can't just open our borders to the world. But, why can't we help or the leaders? I don't have the answers, but so many evil leaders in the world. I mean, come on, that's a big place down there, Guatemala, and there's a lot of people down there, and you mean they can't find a good life in that big country just because of one man who's running the country? My gut says take them out.
Well, there are gangs too. I mean, it's not just this is, we're not getting political.
Yeah.
It's a huge problem.
But we need compassion. That was my point.
Yes, exactly.
We need empathy. We need to understand. We need empathy. We need
they're human,
compassion.
Just like us. We'd do the same thing if we were down there. What alternative methods do you advise caregivers to use when dealing with stressful situations? What do you recommend that they do? Probably the same thing you recommend that any person would do. Caregivers is no different. They just have a little more stress than the average person, right?
So we have meditation classes and groups here, which we teach them how to meditate.
And define meditation, because there's transcendental meditation, there's biblical meditation, meditation can mean so many things. Tell me what you mean when you say meditation.
So I do mostly is abdominal breathing focused meditation. So it's a very simple meditation. I don't go into the very complex ones, which takes you into a different world. There's guided imagery and other things.
Or religious ones.
Yeah, really. Yeah, no. And so many of the people ask me is because meditation came from the East. So they think that I promote my religion. So I tell them, no. You can meditate to anything. You can meditate to Jesus, to your own God. Just think of a positive thought or a positive or some gratitude you have in life and bring that in you and take out the negative. So if you have fear, you need to bring in calm. If you have anger, you need to bring in more peace. So that kind of, you take out your anger and you get in peace. So we teach them how to breathe in and out. We teach them how to focus. So if they have problems focusing or concentrating or with mindset, we teach them how to focus on things. And just by starting 30 seconds a day, and we tell them to increase it up to 5 minutes. That's one thing. Second thing is I promote a lot of yoga in my clinic. Mm-hmm. So I have two yoga instructors who give mind and body yoga classes here. So that helps a lot. We have a mindset class, which we do with a vision board and other things, which helps people, form their goals and see a vision statement and what they want to achieve. And we tell them to do it for themselves because, you are taking care of someone. But if you don't have a purpose in life, it's always going to be hard for you to get more and more involved in what you're doing. Then the fourth thing is I do heart math. So heart math is a non-invasive intervention, which is biofeedback. So where we train you how to take the, I use the M Pro Plus. So EMPRO Plus. And that's a heart math intervention, which teaches you to breathe through your heart and connect your heart to your brain. And then it puts you in a parasympathetic mode. So we have a nervous system, a central nervous system, and another nervous system, which is called parasympathetic and sympathetic nervous system. When you are in the sympathetic mode, you're in the excited, your blood pressure, heart rate, everything is high. You're anxious, you're stressed. But when you put yourself in a parasympathetic mode, you're relaxed. And so we try to put them in that mode by doing that intervention. And it's a trained, so it's training with different games and videos, which teaches them how to breathe. And mm-hmm. when they're more relaxed, some of the games change colors, like the garden changes colors. So they get more and more into it and they get coherent. So there's a coherence which develops. So those are the interventions that I use to, help them. And once they learn how to do it, they can buy the device on their phone, do it on their own, and practice it every day.
So why is breathing, something as simple as breathing, so important? And what is it about yoga that is so good? Because I'm kind of a dummy about yoga. How does yoga help? What is yoga, really, for those who don't know?
So yoga is like a, Eastern form of it's an exercise, basically, but it's an exercise which connects all the chakras. So they believe that you have chakras in your body, and every chakra has to be aligned. So yoga aligns all those chakras. You have five
those
chakras.
Energy
lines? yes, like in Chinese you have the chi and all those. These are the chakras, and they align those chakras by doing yoga. And so then yoga connects your mind, your body, your soul by doing those movements, different exercises or the movements. And it also helps improve your metabolism. It helps with a lot of disease. It cures a lot of diseases. And it helps in that way. And the main thing about yoga is that anybody can do it. However, whatever condition you are in, even if you are in a wheelchair, you can do it. You can do it upper body. You can just do some stretches, which are yoga, yes. And it will still affect you in a positive way.
Mm-hmm. How come Western medicine hasn't gotten on to the fact that yoga does help? I never hear a Western doctor recommend yoga. And is there scientific proof that this works?
Yes, so you can go on the NIH website and you can see several studies and PubMed. And you can see several studies related to yoga and reversal of diseases and changing your health. People who don't promote it don't have the knowledge. They have never done it themselves. So when you have never exposed yourself to that kind of, that kind of approach, you cannot preach it to your patients. Like I always say that if I go to a cardiologist, if I have some problem, I have a cardiologist who's really, really obese, I don't know how I'm going to trust him. So it's the same thing. You have to know certain things because the patient can ask you questions. If you're not able to answer those questions, they're never going to trust what you're telling them.
Sure. And if yoga does cure your disease, I guess you wouldn't need a pill, right?
Yes.
So somebody's losing money.
It's
somebody is losing money if you. If, Say that again.
So it is part of, it's a part of many things. So you will add it to your, you know, regime of doing the other things that you're
other
doing
things,
for your lifestyle.
It's
cannot
amazing.
It cannot alone promote everything, but it can help in addition.
That's amazing. You got any questions, Adrian? I'm just learning
so much. No, I mean, I agree. I do have doctors who've recommended yoga as well, and it's something that I do. And I've changed my diet and all of that.
So what has yoga done for you and your diet changes? What were you like
before
after?
My diet has helped.
Are you vegetarian?
No.
Gluten-free?
Yes, but it's no processed foods, no sugar, no wheat.
That's gluten.
At least it's not gluten. It's the, like, if you have white bread, it's flour, it's wheat that's been broken down to
processed flour.
Processed.
Okay.
And I stay away from all that. And the way I eat, and a lot of vegetables, lots of fruit, it's helped my migraines. My gut is much better.
So you really stay away from junk. You don't eat potato chips, pizza.
No pizza, no bagels. I mean, I haven't had a bagel in almost 4 years. So
there's no cheat days for you.
In New York, nobody believes it. You know, you haven't had a bagel.
Yeah. Yeah. All Jewish people eat bagels, don't they?
Bagels I eat and lox.
Well, you should go on. Yeah,
I eat the lox if it hasn't been smoked with sugar.
Yeah.
It's amazing the additives. You really have to read labels carefully.
What is enriched flour? Is that good or bad?
It's remember, whenever it says enriched, something has been added to it.
That's bad then.
Yeah, so it's an additive. Why do you need to add anything to natural food?
Exactly.
Yeah. And healthy food is expensive, isn't it? You got to go to the health food store or even in the supermarket, the organic stuff. You know, you got
to
pay more for it.
It doesn't have to necessarily be organic, though.
Okay, so you have to look at the Clean 15 and Dirty Dozen from EWG.org. So EWG is environmentalworkinggroup.org. It'll give you a Clean 15 and Dirty Dozen group of fruits and vegetables.
Really?
So if you want to have organic, you have to use, for the Dirty Dozen, you have to use organic because they have too many pesticides to keep it alive. So it improve the shelf life. But the Dirty Dozen, even if you eat it non-organic, you can still survive just buying it on. So you have to go by that list. If something is expensive, you don't have to pay through your nose to buy it. You can go to another alternative where there are certain things like berries, you must have organic because when you're eating berries non-organic, you know, it goes into the seeds, the pesticides, and can never come out even if you wash it. Any leafy vegetables, you just look at the leafy vegetables. How are you going to get rid of the pesticides? So you must eat organic. So you have to choose what you can eat organic and what you can eat non-organic. So this is a good way. We teach our patients the Clean 15 and Dirty Dozen. We teach them how to read labels. We teach them organic and non-organic and how close you can get or how you can avoid spending too much money and still get good food. So local farmers market are best places to buy things because you can get the produce at less cost than you would get in a supermarket.
And why don't they use pesticides? Don't they have the same bugs who are trying to eat their vegetables, these local farmers?
No. So they have, there are other forms of, other ways of using things like, which are not pesticides. They are natural things which can prevent the bugs from coming.
Why don't they just outlaw pesticides if
so
they were?
In some places they are gardeners.
Yeah.
There are certain gardeners are not allowed to use certain pesticides. The homeowner can use it.
Yeah.
But the professional a professional gardener can be fined for using certain things.
So what are some symptoms of pesticide poisoning, let's say?
You can get brain fog, memory loss. You can have chronic fatigue.
Oh my gosh, you're describing me.
Fibromyalgia. You can all organs can get
all of the syndromes toxins. Probably come from pesticides, right?
Yeah, and autoimmune conditions.
Oh my gosh.
Or dementia, a lot of things. But if you go to Europe, you'll never see in a supermarket there's an organic and non-organic section. Everything is organic. They don't use pesticides. If you eat wheat in Europe and if you eat wheat here, there's a lot of difference.
Wow.
How it's grown. So things are, things have changed. We want more produce like if you take a grass-fed cow, it takes 9 months for it to develop the meat. But if you take a corn-fed cow, it takes only 3 months. So which is more profitable?
Yeah. Right. Minnie, I can't believe how fast this hour has gone. Thank you so much.
Yeah, me too.
A lot of information. Thank you.
Thank you. I learned a lot.
It's been a great, great show. It isn't often that we say, wow, this was a great, great show. So how can we get a hold of you, or if anybody wants to, because this is going to re-air again and again on the internet forever.
Okay. So well, I can give my email.
What's the best way that they can ask you questions or email you or phone number, so however you want to do it?
Yeah, Dr. Minnie, D, and Dr. as in DrMinni at Anchor. wellnesscenter.com.
Anchor? Anchor?
As in a ship's anchor.
A-N-C-H-O-R. Did I spell it right?
Yeah. Anchor. Wellness.
Wellness. W-E-L-L-N-E-S-S. Center. C-E-N-T-E-R.
.com.
.com.
Okay.
So that's my
You need to get a shorter email. So you can do an acronym or something. I'm sure Clint can help you with that.
Yeah, I'm sure.
The shorter, the better. And Adrian, how can our listeners reach out to you and do things like aftercare groups? And
it's Adrian at thecaregiverspace.org. And if you go to just www.thecaregiverspace.org, you'll find out where we are on all different platforms. I'm going to be at a conference this weekend in Teaneck.
Who's Teaneck? Where's that?
New Jersey.
Okay.
Teaneck, New Jersey. Yeah, Jersey. It should be interesting because it's about respite care.
Oh, cool.
Oh, okay.
And I recommend everybody join my membership website, caregiverdave.com. Go there and check it out. And we have 3 free gifts for you. Just hit that little free gift, get my free gift button. I mean, it's free. Come on. So thank you again, everybody, for coming on. And we'll see you again next Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern on Facebook Live. All the other platforms, it will be there recorded probably by tonight or tomorrow. So thanks again, and may God bless you all. And we will see you all next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Caregivers Caregiver Radio Program with Dave Nassani.